conclude our series of candidate forums in this half hour with a look at the race for Congress in Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Thursday, October 30th. We will hear from Democratic candidate for Congress, Kelly Westland, in this segment about why she wants to replace Republican Congressman Sean Duffy. Republican U.S. Representative Sean Duffy declined our invitation to participate due to a scheduling conflict. The Green Party candidate, Lawrence Dale, also declined our invitation. But Democratic candidate Kelly Westland will answer your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Kelly Westland is a small business owner, a former member of the Ashland City Council. She is the Democratic candidate in Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being with us. So take a minute off the top to tell us a little bit about yourself and why you want to represent the 7th Congressional District.
Sure. Well, I grew up in a military family and have lived in a lot of different places, but Ashland has really become my home. I've been there longer than I've ever stayed in one place in my life. I moved there several years ago to go to school up at Northland College, and of course I married a local and ran for city council, and now my whole family is actually relocated to Ashland as well. And I'm running for this seat because from the local government perspective, I had a good opportunity to see how decisions made in Washington and Madison had real impact on our ability to govern at the community level, and you get to see how those decisions, you know, affect our neighbors. I want to go because I think that the person currently representing me is not making decisions in the best interest of the people in the district.
For example?
For example, this is a district with a low household income on average. It's in the middle of the $40,000 a year range per household. And a lot of folks rely on things like earned benefits, whether it's Social Security or unemployment insurance, but also food stamps. And Congressman Duffy has voted to cut all of those programs. He's talked about his support for veterans, but has voted to cut their veteran benefits as well. These are things that make a big difference in the day-to-day lives of people who live in this district.
Congressman Duffy calls you a blank check for the president and that you would support a radical agenda. What's your response to that?
That's the boilerplate Republican attack for somebody when they don't have anything more clever to say about my record. The fact is, I've been responsible in local government. I listen to my constituents. I'm accessible. I make decisions based on good information.
You had a debate. It was last night, wasn't it?
It was.
So what's your headline from the debate?
Well, I think it's kind of frustrating that we weren't able to have one until this late in the game. It was originally scheduled for October 7th, but that did not work with the congressman's schedule either. We were also scheduled for another one tonight in Superior that he declined to participate in. So we didn't get a chance to talk about a lot of really important issues, things like veterans, again, or student loan debt, or even campaign finance reform.
I'm seeing from coverage that you criticized Congress's unproductive past few years and hinted that Congressman Duffy should lose his job as a result.
I didn't just hint about it. Congressman Duffy was a champion for the government shutdown. He was on every, you know, public news show that he could get on to be able to talk about, you know, how important it was to hold the government hostage for his ideology. I don't believe that sort of behavior, that partisanship and obstruction, does anything to improve the lives of people in the 7th Congressional District or this country.
We are talking with Kelly Westland, and we have a few more minutes with her and an open line. If you have a question for her about the most important issues facing the country and how she would approach them, 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. What's your question for a candidate for Congress in the 7th Congressional District, Kelly Westland? So why do you support raising the minimum wage?
For a number of reasons. Over the last few decades, we've seen this growing gap between the very wealthy and everyone else. The income inequality in this country is doing serious harm to the ability for any average working person to either become a part of the middle class or stay in it. And raising the minimum wage is an excellent way to start to close that gap. You know, companies like Walmart and McDonald's that are some of the biggest employers in the private sector in this country don't pay their people enough. So these folks end up relying on the social safety net to make ends meet, which means that taxpayers foot the bill for over $7 billion a year because we're essentially subsidizing Walmart's cost of doing business. If we raise the minimum wage, then those folks make enough to make ends meet, and that saves taxpayer dollars.
Yeah, we see various reports, one out from a conservative think tank that said that 90,000 jobs would be lost if we raised the minimum wage.
And there's another report out from a different think tank that says it would create 160,000 jobs. Really, it's up for debate, but we've seen, you know, empirically that raising the minimum wage doesn't have any net impact on the number of jobs in the country. But what we do know is that it lifts people out of poverty, that it puts money into the pockets of working people, and when customers have more money, then businesses have more customers.
So what do you propose we do to get more people back to work?
There are so many things that we can do, but as far as the role of the federal government, what I would like to see is a real, for the first time in a long time, investment in our infrastructure, not just roads and bridges and rail and utilities, but also education, public service, public health. We have such needs that exist in this country and so many people out of work, we should be able to connect those dots. But one example that always jumps to mind for me is because of there's an industrial park in Ashland where I live. And while we've made the investment to prepare this property for investment by private businesses, what happens is companies come to the WEDC in Wisconsin, and they say, here are the things that we need to in a community to be able to set up shop. Oftentimes, one of those things is access to a four-lane highway. An awful lot of communities in northern Wisconsin don't have that. Just that piece of infrastructure, not to mention rail and broadband access, those are things that can really expand economic development in rural areas, and you cannot build commerce on a crumbling infrastructure.
Let me take a call from Laura in Madison. Hello, Laura.
Hi. I don't live in your district, and this question isn't specific, I think, to your campaign, but I'm noticing that you are having difficulty engaging your opponent. I'm noticing that a lot of people are no-shows on Wisconsin Public Radio, and even the League of Women Voters has a lot of blank spaces with their publication. I'm just wondering, do you think campaign finance issues have to do with this, where the candidates don't have to really speak for themselves, that others speak for them, like C4 groups, and they don't even have to be responsible for what they say?
I wanted to also take the call, Kelly, because I know this is campaign finance laws are important to you.
Okay, yeah. Well, I think that you're touching on something that has been a frustration for a number of candidates. I know that our local League of Women Voters, for the first time in my memory anyway, wasn't able to host forums because none of the Republican candidates were willing to participate. The process of even organizing this one debate was tremendously challenging, and I think that you're right. It does have something to do with the influence of money. The fact is that my opponent is well-funded. He serves on Financial Services Committee and gets a lot of money from places like Wall Street and Republican leadership PACs. So what we've seen is that half of his money is coming from these groups, and he doesn't have to show up to these things and be held accountable on his record. He can instead just flood the airwaves with ads and hope that that's going to be sufficient. My campaign, on the other hand, is funded almost 90% by individuals, and we've been pouring that into our field operation, talking with voters directly, person to person. We've been on the road for over 10 months meeting voters in every corner of this district, but it's the kind of campaign that I can be proud of.
Well, the mine in northern Wisconsin is certainly an issue in a lot of state races. Is there a role for Congress in this debate between environmental protection and job creation?
I believe so, especially with this particular project, because it does involve issues of sovereignty, and it's in ceded territory. So I know that the Bad River Tribe has asked the EPA to use the, I believe it's Section 404 of the Clean Air Act and the Clean Water Act to give them the ability to regulate some of the impacts from this proposed project. And Congressman Duffy has taken it upon himself on at least three separate occasions to work at the federal level to further deregulate the mining industry or to weaken the EPA in order to allow this project to move forward. I think that he's on the wrong side of the issue.
Well, in our final moments, why should people vote for you instead of Representative Duffy?
Because when I go to Washington, I'm going there to work for working class people. I'm not afraid of standing up to big money interests to fight for regular folks. It's not the people with the most money who need the most advocacy in Congress. It's the rest of us.
All right. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Kelly Westland is a small business owner and a former member of the Ashland City Council. She is the Democratic candidate in Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District. Republican U.S. Representative Sean Duffy declined our invitation due to a scheduling conflict. Lawrence Dale of the Green Party also declined our invitation. So we will, coming up after the break, welcome in a political analyst to talk a little bit more about the 7th Congressional District race. And I think I'm also going to get his take on the latest news out of the race for governor in the latest poll, showing that Governor Walker now has a lead over Mary Burke. And we'll welcome your questions for him, too. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are going to conclude our series of candidate forums now with a discussion on some of the important issues in the 7th Congressional District. And we welcome your thoughts and questions for our guest political analyst, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. As mentioned, we did invite U.S. Representative Sean Duffy to be a part of our candidate forum series. He declined due to a scheduling conflict. The Green Party candidate, Lawrence Dale, also declined our invitation. Kelly Westland, who is the Democratic candidate in Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, did accept our invitation, and we just heard from her in our last segment. Well, now let us welcome in Eric Giordano, an associate professor of political science at UW-Marathon County, which is in the 7th Congressional District. He is also the director of the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So I know you attended the debate last night between Sean Duffy and Kelly Westland. What was your takeaway from the event?
I did. Well, it was a very spirited debate, as you can probably imagine. I think, actually, Kelly summed up a few of the major controversies or disagreements, let's say, between the candidates, and so we certainly could talk about that. I think one of the things that my takeaway is that, you know, both really kept to well-known scripts, well-rehearsed scripts that you really can predict from both sides of the aisle, and I think from my perspective, it's really which of the two not can sell it necessarily to average voters, but to their base, so that each side's likely voters feel intensely enough to get out and actually vote, because we didn't hear much new from either side.
Yeah. Well, we did talk a little bit with candidate Westland about things that she noted from the debate last night, including I asked her if she hinted that Representative Duffy should lose his job as a result of Congress's unproductive past, and she said she wasn't hinting it. She said, you know, that he should lose his job. Is Congress's low approval rating, Congress's unproductive past, a liability for Sean Duffy?
It could be. I mean, this is definitely one of the zingers that Kelly got in at Sean, or Congressman Duffy. Interestingly, his response was that he agreed that government hadn't been really functioning as well, but he placed the blame squarely on two sources: the Senate. He said there were 350 bills that were passed through the House, and not even 50 of them taken up by the Senate, so he blamed the Senate. And then he also blamed President Obama for not really allowing new legislation going through, and actually legislating by executive fiat. So that was sort of his take on things.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the makeup of the 7th Congressional District. We know it was redrawn to be more Republican-leaning, but just how Republican is it?
Well, it's definitely, if you're favoring the Democrats, I've taken a big hit by the loss of the Stevens Point area and the Portage County area and parts of that region, which was heavily blue or heavily favoring Democrats. And so overall, the district certainly skews more towards the conservative areas of north central and northwest Wisconsin, which is a very large, you know, rural area and industrial area. And so, you know, great deal of traditional and more conservative leaning folks here.
Mm-hmm. And what is Sean Duffy most known for in the 7th District?
Well, I think one thing that he's been known for is his strong disagreement with Obamacare and his decision to vote with the Republican Congress to try to repeal Obamacare on multiple occasions. Now, he did argue early in his career, he's been serving now for about 4 years, that he would have a replacement legislation. That really never came through. He's also been quite known for his, you know, family values. Of course, he has a family and is very proud of his family, and he really believes strongly in traditional religious-based values and right to life, so he's been known for that. He's also been known for deregulation. I think Kelly Westland brought that up, and it's accurate. He really supports the idea of lessening government influence and decreasing regulations, and also trying to reduce overall government footprint in terms of spending.
Mm-hmm. Is Kelly Westland mounting much of a challenge?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think when you talk to the Duffy campaign sort of on the side, they acknowledge that they are anywhere from 8 to 10 points up in the polls. But, you know, as they say, which I certainly understand, you know, we're not letting up. You know, it's not over until it's over, mm-hmm. and so we have to cross the finish line strong. And so they're taking this, this race very seriously, as I think everybody is on either side of the aisle.
Yeah. Candidate Westland was a little bit concerned that it took so long to get a debate between the two of them last night. He apparently, Sean Duffy, declined other invitations to do debates. He declined our invitation to do a forum. He doesn't have to do these?
Well, looking at it from a Republican standpoint, if we're Republican strategists for a moment, he's the incumbent. Incumbents win re-election 90% of the time historically. He's in a district that tends to be leaning conservative. He knows he's up in the polls. He knows that name recognition is a very large issue about, you know, whether voters are willing to come out and support candidates. So he probably and his advisors see debates as a way to get, you know, as a losing proposition, or the chance to lose voters or allow the opponent to gain voters. So I think they had a calculated strategy to limit the number of debates, and I think that was certainly revealed in the fact that there was only one debate that the Duffy campaign really actually agreed to do.
Yeah. And briefly, there's also the Green Party candidate, Lawrence Dale. Has he made a splash of any sort?
Not really. We haven't heard much of anything, and of course that's partly the nature of elections these days, where money equals exposure, and unfortunately, without much money, we really haven't heard much from that candidate.
In our final moments, I wanted to also ask you about the latest Marquette University Law School poll out yesterday. Shows Governor Walker leading Mary Burke 50-43% among likely voters. There's a 3% margin of error. Pretty much up until now, a lot of the polling in this race has been tied or a dead heat or very close. What's your sense of what might be going on?
Well, I think we're looking here at really one of the keys to this race, and probably many across the country, which is about intensity. It's about the intensity of voters and their willingness to come out and support their candidate. And so this likely voter discrepancy or disparity between the two could be important if it signals that Republicans are more likely to come out and vote than Democrats. And so I think that is the challenge, and that is the question, really. Who is doing the best job at getting the base out to vote here? I think we've seen that there are very few undecided voters. Most people know who they support. So really the question is, who's going to bring out their base?
Yeah. And so do you think that this gubernatorial race is going to be a nail-biter on election night?
You know, I hate to predict, because the one thing that I believe strongly in is that voters need to make the decision at the election. I will say that if Democrats want to win the race, they're going to have to figure out a way to get the younger vote out, minority vote, the vote of people who are less wealthy, because these are the groups that tend not to turn out on elections. And if the intensity level is not high enough in terms of how they feel about their candidate, it could be an uphill challenge.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Eric Giordano is an associate professor of political science at UW-Marathon County. He is also the director of the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service, talking with us about the 7th Congressional District race. And I got a quick take on the race for governor as well. All right, well, that concludes our candidate forums before the November election. All of these interviews are available at WPR.org, also on WisconsinVote.org. Thanks to Bill Martins for producing this program and the series of candidate forums. Thanks to Brianne Chasso and to Christy Taylor for on-air production and direction. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. Much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.